In my last Neil's Minutes, I have to admit that I kind of had an agenda. And when I started new the Neil's Minutes, and I quoted what he had given me, it kind of took a whole different expression. And so I had to do what I keep telling others to do, and that is to trust and follow Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing, and he knows what we need. But the reality of where I wanted to go was, what is God's creation saying to you today? You know, there's scripture that talk to us about everything has a voice. And in one place he says, if we don't praise God or honor God, even the rocks will cry out. You know, we take that as a metaphoric statement, and yet the reality of God and all of his creation is, he tells us that no man has an excuse. Because of the creation, we should know that he is God. And that he is the creator. And what is God's creation saying to you today? What is the creation that you're around today speaking to you? You know, whether man built a building or not, it's behind it is God. Somewhere in the building of a building, God shows up, gives people an idea, gives them a hunger, gives them something about starting a new business, whatever it is. But family, dwelling places, garages, they all have this beginning place. And, you know, if God doesn't build a house, it's not going to stand. And yet, we know that God is a part of everything that exists. I'm really blessed that I live in a place where I can look out of my shop or out of my windows and see a mountain on the other side of the road, and we have deer feeding in our backyard. We have an incredible, beautiful spot that brings me no amount of peace. I love just sitting around on it and gazing at all of God's creations because it speaks to me. You know, God's creation doesn't fight for existence. It exists. When I look at all that God has created and all that he does and the inventive intuitiveness that he has put inside of mankind to be a co-creator, I marvel at the peace of his creation. I just marvel at the reality that, yes, in some ways they have to contend for life. Their roots have to go deep. They have to contend with other plants wanting the same sunshine that they're looking for. But in reality, even in its contention, there is peace. There's this sense of rest, you know, and it says God created and then he rested on the seventh day, marveling at what he has done, looking at what he has done. And I think that we just continually are striving about anything, something. We will find something to strive to do. We'll find something to be centered on. And the only thing that God really speaks to us to strive is to strive to enter in his rest in Hebrews. I am so amazed at how much of God's creation has spoke to me through my life. I remember as a young man, after the age of 11, when God and I just were friends and talking, and how many things he would show me that I didn't really acknowledge the wonder of it. Animals in the wilderness, riding horses, being able to see things that need to be done before they need to be done. Knowing that Dad was going to say, we need to round up this group of cattle, or we need to check this out, or we need to go to this place. And he would, Dad lived a random pattern in life as a rancher. He was amazing. He would know when there was a sick cow, and we would go out and search until we found it. And somewhere inside of me is just, it was the same thing that I began to know that when he was going to show up, I began to know things about my surroundings. Horses that were struggling or battling against man when we were trying to break them. It was like God would show me a little something that would change the attitude of the horse. And my whole life was being around God's creation and speaking to me. But it wasn't until recently that I really recognized how much God's creation speaks if we're just willing to listen. You know, I've seen ants crawling around a pebble on the floor, which was a word to give to a pastor about you keep struggling against this thing that you, this little stone that's on in your life, and you keep thinking it's a sin, but God's saying, just go around it. Go on. Stop being held back by this thing that you've already confessed to me. You've already asked me to remove it. So just, it's still there, but just go around it. Don't try and go through it. And I've had birds speak to me, bees, just so many things. And as I think more and more about God's voice, I recognize that we miss so much because we have boxed God into this religious being, and he only speaks to us this way, and he only speaks to us through this book, and he only speaks to us through these kinds of things. When all of creation is crying out, all of creation is speaking to us. What if we were listening? What if we really connected as creation with him instead of not seeing it? We just kind of think, well, it's there, you know, and yeah, he says all creation shows us that he is, but we really don't stop and take the time to recognize how much life God has created, how much life he has put on this earth. And he's always about life. He tells us who's the killer and the stealer and the destroyer, and it's it's the same thing. It's the Satan. It's the devil. It's the demonic. And yet he comes to produce life, Jesus says. I came to give life abundantly. And when I look around at his creation these days, I marvel, even at what I would call weeds. I marvel. Hey, you know, he tells us that these things don't spin and toil. They just live. What if I could just live with God? What if I didn't have to have an agenda? What if I didn't have to present with him a curriculum so he would think that I'm a really good guy? And what if I didn't have to perform for him to love me? What if everything in my life is a result of his loving me? That when I get up and I'm praying, saying, God, there must be somebody I can talk to today, it isn't to get his approval. It's because I live with him and he lives in me and I know his heart. And my heart beats with seeing his heart fulfilled. What if it was just a spontaneous reaction to an incredible intimacy? What if my life was not, in a sense, purpose-driven? What if my life was relationship-driven? What kind of questions would I ask God if I just really wanted to get to know him? What would I talk to him about? I find myself at times asking God, so why did you just have me do that? I need to understand more of this because I want to understand who you are. I want to know you. I lived my life every day as, God, I want to know you. God, I want to feel your heartbeat. I want to touch with your hands. I want to see with your eyes. I want to walk where you show me, Lord, because I know that if I'm walking where you show me, I'm going to encounter somebody with a need and you're going to touch them. It's just like, I know who he is and I know his heart during this age is to seek and save the lost and destroy the works of the devil. So what if I could just trust him with my life and know that no matter whether I'm working as an electrician, driving a car, helping somebody unload groceries, I don't care what it is, but that God's in it. that God is demonstrating through me, his creation, who he is. What if I could really identify not with being a sinner, but being with his creation that is saved from my sin, made safe from my enemy? That's really what the word says about saved. When you look at it, it is to make safe from your enemy. What if I could live in a place of anticipating being made safe from my enemy? Not that the enemy wouldn't show up. Not that he wouldn't attempt to possess my ground. Not that he wouldn't like to kill, steal, and destroy and keep me from having faith and keep me from being God's love or discovering more of God's love. But that I rested in the reality that God's got this. I just need to keep honoring him and blessing him and extolling his name. I think there would be a huge difference. But first, I know that God wants people to become aware of how much he is talking to them, how much he cares about their activities and how they do them, how much he cares about the reality of interactions with others. You know, drugs, TV, so many things in many ways try and take us from relationships. It's not that they're bad in and of themselves. Drugs are. Yeah, I'm not going to stop. That wouldn't be. But the reality is that how I respond to these stimuli that the enemy has put in the world also, these twisting of the things God created and causing them to be a stimulus for evil. What if I could really see through that? And I really believe that we should, because we're supposed to be sent just like Jesus. We should know. We should hear. We should be guided by Holy Spirit. The Father's voice should be something that we recognize and understand. You know, he tells us in John 10, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow because they don't know it. That's that word intimacy. It's like the intimacy between a man and a woman when marriage. There is this closeness. There's this having been together, we can look at each other and tell some of the thoughts that are going on in each other's minds and know what to expect from them. And it's just an incredible, glorious thing to live in a relationship with another person. Friendships. What am I trying to say? What is God speaking to me this morning? Have you noticed the grass growing, Neil? Have you noticed the trees changing this year? Have you noticed this about your friend? Have you noticed this about this person? Have you seen me in this? How many doors did I open for you today? Can you count them? Why not? You don't recognize my presence as much as you need to. And it's not a striving. If you strive to know God, you miss it. He said, strive to enter into the rest of knowing him. So, with that, how can we move our places back to the place where we not just acknowledge God, but that we recognize him in the midst of our activities, at work, at play, with our kids, cleaning the house, carrying out the garbage? How many places do we ignore the presence of God and that he probably is speaking to us? You know, it's like the other day I was taking the garbage out and there's a couple of rooms that I don't even check. And he goes, so what about the garbage in those rooms? You're going to take that out? So I go back and I get the garbage and recognize the one can needed to be emptied badly a long time ago, but I hadn't emptied it. And so I'm carrying it to the trash. And he says, I want you to remember this thing in your life that you have never dropped in the trash. It's an insignificance that you have carried, no matter how much boldness you have and how incredible you could walk with me, you still have this sense inside you of insignificance. I want you to put that in the trash, as well as the stuff that you're carrying that's just garbage from life. I want you to put this in the trash because it's nothing but garbage from life. And you know, it caused my words to be different. I'm still speaking the same things, but just listening while I was carrying out the garbage changed the effect of my words with others as I speak. It's like losing my own insignificance and recognizing that to God I'm important. And seeing that then changes my expression to people. It changes the way I do work. It changes what I see in the world around me. Significant. What an incredible statement. I really would desire that all of us would recognize our significance. It's not about the man up front. He's not the significant one. He shouldn't be the significant one. It's you. It's your part in the scheme of all of God's creation. And as we come closer to the end, He needs us to be more and more aware of our significance, of our part in who He is, and recognizing that I'm a part of His creation. I am a part of His creation. So what is God's creation speaking to you today?